The West Live. The West Live. With Jenna Clark.
Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
Gentlemen, my favourite man of the week. How are we?
Good. And you?
I'm well, thank you. Glenn Quartermain, obviously, sports editor for the Sunday Times. Mark Duff Duffield, senior AFL reporter for the West. How are we?
I'm fantastic today.
Hi.
Watched a fantastic game of footy on TV last night.
How good was it?
Mm.
Yeah.
And Duff, one of those few games where they both deserved a win, so I'll take a draw. If either of those teams had lost last night, they had their chance. Fantastic smother by McGrath, great finish by King. Yes, Rankin stuffed up. Was he milking the clock? Yeah, he had to, but he probably should have had a shot sooner. And as you say, Lachie Weller running past.
Lachie Weller was running past, and you have to see it from the right angle. And Lachie Weller is a 55-metre long shooter.
Oh.
So if he handballs to Lachie Weller, Lachie Weller scores and they win.
I'll tell you what, though, glass half full here. Isaac Rankine continues to put himself in the position in the clutch of games they can win.
He is an amazing player.
And so the fact that he's first year and he's in that position, he wants to be the player that wins the game. I reckon that's a great sign. We're in for 10 years of highlights with that kid.
What about Ben King's goal in the last quarter? A 202-centimetre teenager.
How did he move?
I can't get over how big these young ones are.
Yeah. And they're athletes now. I mean, this is the profile now of an AFL player, and he is an athlete.
But he went around that pack like Peter Matera.
He did. Yeah, it was great to watch. Well, we talk about putting yourself in the clutch position. He wanted to win that game for Gold Coast in the end, and a lot of kids don't.
Mm.
A lot of kids go into their shell and wait for someone else to do it, but Gold Coast has got this sort of player now.
Do you think this is what COVID has pretty much gifted these new draftees, and the fact that there's not a lot of, I mean, they may feel there's not a lot of pressure when you're at the game, so it probably sometimes feels like a bit of a practice match so that they can just really forget about the external stuff?
I reckon there's a bit of pressure on still, but they are shorter games. Duff, what are your thoughts on
that? And also, there's not the cauldron effect. I get what you're saying. I reckon that for some of that crowd noise would just close in on you and become
very, very good point,
very claustrophobic. Whereas there's noise and there's atmosphere now because there's people in the ground, but it's not the same as having 25,000.
Yeah, that's right. Or if you're playing Richmond at the G, and there's 70 plus, and you're having a shot for goal with a couple of seconds remaining, I'd rather be in front of a couple of hundred
people.
Oh, David Mundy. It never bothered David Mundy.
No, Richmond
people still have nightmares about David Mundy.
Now, and on that point,
what's David doing with the old boy?
Well, he's put his hand up, wants to play on, and we've discussed this on the podcast, and I think we're both in agreement, provided it doesn't hurt their list. I think he should play on because they've got a rising young crop now in the midfield, and I think the experience really does help out on the field. And we saw him against the Hawks last weekend.
Yeah.
It was just made Hawthorn look second rate with his use of the footy and his running patterns. He's just playing really well, Mundy. And I know the cliff comes quickly, Duff. But for a player like Mundy, he's not like he's a key position. So I reckon he could get another year out of that body managed.
He's never been quick. So he doesn't have to worry about speed.
That's why I like him. He's like me.
He's a huge man.
He's big.
He's 192 centimetres. Yeah. He's basically the same size as Matthew Pavlich was.
Wow.
And he plays midfield. Mm. And my nephew Paul, who played alongside him for years and they're best mates, Paul describes him as the best big game player he's ever seen. So put David Mundy in a big game, you basically get a big game out of David Mundy.
Yeah.
So I think the key's going to be what do the list sizes come down to? And how does Fremantle manage that? Because the thing about Fremantle, Fremantle's got quite an exciting crop of people coming through. Now, we've seen a lot of them, but there are a few that we haven't seen. And if you get to a point where you may lose one of them to keep David Mundy for another year, that is going to be a difficult decision.
But we're still, how far away is Liam Henry?
Well, he could be days away. Because
he is, you think you've seen some excitement so far with Freo.
Yeah.
Strap yourself in, there's more around the corner.
You've been saying that for a long time.
Oh, I think so. We're seeing it now. They've strung a couple together, and they'll lose more games this year, and they're going to go into another hub. But I reckon the sample of what we've seen, you can go forward thinking, I'm getting a membership at this club. This club's going places.
What do you think the relationship is like between Longmuir and Fife? Do you think it's similar to what he had with Ross?
No, it's completely different.
Well, it's only a very new relationship too. So that
in
was
very unprecedented circumstances.
They're different sort of personalities. The Ross's great strength was the totalitarian nature of his reign, and that's also the great weakness, because like all totalitarian regimes, it has a short lifespan. What Fremantle had was basically football's version of Animal Farm.
Wow.
But sooner or later, the pigs start walking on their hind legs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and all the values that you start off with, you know, two legs bad, four legs good. you end up with four legs good, two legs better, you know, and the pigs are eating meals up the house. And Ross was very clever at cultivating the top end of his list because he believed they were the influential people on his list. And the method was, if I get them to buy in to my methods, mm-hmm. then everyone else follows. Justin Longmuir is more, we're all in, and I'm going to connect with everybody on my list. I'm going to get the most out of everybody on my list. So completely different style to Ross. But hearing Fife talk about Longmuir, I think, you know, I think he's a believer. And I think when you watch them play and you watch the method, I think they all believe.
Well, he's introduced skill to training.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, wow.
Well, I think the belief in the past was if you're drafted AFL level, you're good enough. So therefore, you don't have to work on your skill as much.
Yeah.
But the other concept is, hey, you need
to
be at
sharp.
That pointy end. You need to keep yourself sharp. So he's introduced skill, and their kicking efficiency mm-hmm. is off the chart compared to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Still got some work to do in the forward line.
Mm-hmm.
Back line's doing a really good job. Under duress with a lot of players out. Midfield's growing by the week.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot to like, as I said. But their kicking efficiency was spot on last week.
So.
And as far as West Coast goes, Jenna, I'm declaring it now. Nick Natanui's the All-Australian Ruckman.
Interesting.
There's this constant debate about whether Gorn's better, whether Grundy's better, whether Goldstein's in the conversation. West Coast are now doing things around stoppage that mm-hmm. other teams can only dream about.
Grundy's not been as good this year.
Yeah.
I think he's dropped off a little bit. Still a great player. Gorn's injured at the moment, but I agree with you. I think if you look at, they're different types of players. Natanui doesn't get the stats the other players get. But in terms of the influence he has on the midfield around him, I think it's Natanui and then pretty well daylight, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
You've seen Matt Gorn's been dominating, yet his they haven't been getting the influence that they should have.
Yeah.
They definitely get it at West Coast. He is so important to them. And we keep saying it, but he's one of three players. Shepherd.
Yeah.
And
where'd he come
and
from?
And Gav, who didn't play in the 2018 flag. They were a real key to the flag this year, those three.
They'll be the drivers. That even when they played in the hub and, you know, they say they weren't sooking, they look like they were sooking. The three players that weren't sooking were the three players that don't have premierships.
And
Natanui, Gaff, and Shepherd.
And let's not make any. It's going to get hard because they've had really nice breaks between games, the Eagles, 7-8 day breaks.
Yeah.
They're about to go into a hub. They're going to get some condensed games. It's going to get really hard. We don't know where the finals are played yet. Possibly Queensland, but it's still no certainty.
Yeah.
But if it is, that's a long time to be over there. But they're right in it. They're right in the mix. But it's going to be a really hard flag to win.
So they're heading back. They're both heading back to Queensland.
They are.
So, now, new fixtures, have they been released?
Well, no, they haven't. But we've got a fair idea as to how this plays out. So Fremantle is yet to play either Sydney or GWS. So they will play both Sydney and GWS before they go.
Mm-hmm.
West Coast has already played Sydney. So West Coast will play GWS and then they will probably go. Unless they fly a team in and out and play them in quarantine.
They've got North, Essendon, Richmond, Western Bulldogs.
And St Kilda.
And St Kilda. They're the teams that haven't played. So you play everyone once this year.
Yep.
And Frio's got much the same list, except they play Melbourne instead of Essendon, and they've already played St Kilda, so they have to go for one less week.
By the way, Duff, it wasn't long ago you and I were saying Travis Old, the AFL fixture boss, would take a miracle to get this fixture right in terms of playing every team once.
Yeah.
Given the what's happening in state by state. We're still not there, but we're getting there. And it's just full credit to them. It's been a pretty hard gig. You see what's happening in the NRL at the moment.
Oh,
I fear that it's about the cauldrons bubbling over there.
We're only a few days away from nude pole dancing somewhere in Brisbane, I'm sure.
What do you mean days away? Doesn't it already happen?
I think AFL players are probably smarter and they know just to put the phones away.
Ah, yeah, smarter.
Yeah.
And possibly.
Marginally.
So when they get there, when the Eagles and Dockers get to Queensland for the hub, how many AFL teams will then be in Queensland?
15.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's going to be like Mad Monday.
They won't be necessarily getting together and socialising.
Again, have you met AFL players?
Yeah, well.
but they're going to be spread out. Yeah. So there'll be Fremantle and Sydney are going to be in Cairns. And we still don't know where West Coast is going to go. They're hoping to go back to the Royal Pines,
uh-huh.
which is just the primo deluxe resort. If you're going to hub, that's where you want to hub. Mm. Hawthorn, we think, is going to the Barossa Valley in South Australia.
My boys.
I'd like to go there.
See, a bit of class. My boys.
Where the Crows
the season's
got told
going
off
nowhere. Might as well get some nice meaty reds in here.
Get back with a nice glass
cheese board,
of
thank you.
We're working on our skills, gents.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
A bit of quince pate with our boys.
Oh, I love it. We'll wander out yonder for sure. I think it's fantastic. Well, gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining
us.
See you next week. And, of course, as per usual, you can download the latest episode of The Game, AFL podcast with Duff and Quarters. New episode dropping today.
It is, shortly.
Sounds good. I better get out of here so you guys can record.
Exactly.
Thank you.
See ya.